Hello, and welcome to the Innovia Conversation. I'm Steve Waltz.
And I'm Jeff Pergalski.
And Jeff, it's right before our Innovia Customer Conference, and we're going surfing today, man. What are we going to talk about?
Surfing. It must mean that we are talking about the Wave 1 updates to Business Central. Did I get it right?
I think you got it right. Wave 1 for 2022, man. And it's exciting. So this is... they do it twice a year, if I'm not mistaken. And to help us out, we decided to get a couple of experts from our team on here. So
we see that
we brought the A team in today. We got Jim Augustine and Holly Cutle with us. Hi guys.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I
could
be Mr. T if we're the A team.
Nice. And for those that'll be watching this on the YouTube video, you'll see the waves behind Jim. So nice, Jim.
Gotta get in the theme, the spirit here.
Right. So you know, when you hear of Wave One, you know, this whole message that Microsoft has been promoting, right? This cloud first, mobile first, get everybody to the cloud. And it's an update for Business Central. Now, is this something that's updates for both on premise or for SaaS? Or maybe you can tell us a little bit of how that works.
So today's conversation, I think, is going to revolve around features that are in SaaS. I'm not certain on the update date for on-prem. It's going to follow very shortly. Keeping in what's happening from the Microsoft perspective, though, not all the features that we discussed today will be available on-prem. There is a way to know which is which, but it's clear that a lot of the enhancement in development is going to the online or SaaS environment.
Nice. So that automatically updates if you're on the subscription as a service. And if you're on premise, is that something that's automatically an update, or how does that work, guys?
The update to on-prem folks will have to be scheduled. You have more control, and that's one of the reasons that you might stay on-prem versus going into the cloud. But it would be scheduled. You could work through our support department or our project team to get that scheduled. And that conversation would best be started with people like Holly and I, your client engagement specialists.
Cool. So how are you looking forward to surfing on the new SaaS version? Or what are you most excited about?
I am. You know what? I love the whole rollout of the waves that Microsoft came up with. And, you know, there's a reason they called it a wave. Okay, so it's a 6-month plan with a rollout, kind of like a wave. It kind of rolls in, rolls out, rolls in, rolls out. And so that's how the waves work. So everything we talk about is scheduled for wave one of 2022, but it doesn't mean that all the things that we talk about are going to happen as they roll out starting this week. So wave one will start rolling out. They may still add some of these features in the next upcoming months between now and wave two, which comes out in October. So that was their idea of a wave, and how they got the name wave was because it was a rollout of all of these different features in a 6-month period. So it may all roll out in April. It doesn't all happen in April. Some of it may come out in the later months as we go through each month, because there's constant updates in your SaaS environment. Two or three each month, small little updates and, you know, different added features and tweaks as they go along. And then the big one comes out that April and October push of the wave. So a lot of exciting stuff, a lot of things in the finance area that are out there and great that are up and coming. So I'm sure we're going to get into that and talk about some of those.
So yeah, that's a great point, Holly, because there was one of the updates that we'll be talking about briefly is the integration to Shopify, and Microsoft is releasing a Shopify connector. I was looking at that initially thinking it would be generally available right on the update date of April 1st, but I can see now it's been pushed out to May 2022. So they do come out there in waves, you can look and see where that's happening in some spots on Microsoft's website.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great one. Everybody, I think, is waiting for the Shopify connector to get put out there. So it will definitely help a lot of clients, a lot of people using e-commerce.
Great. So you just push the button and it connects you to Shopify. Is that how it works?
Kind of. Yeah. We saw a preview of it at the partner conference a few weeks ago. And it's a version one integration. the main records that we'd want, customers, items, and things. It's a great start, though.
Cool. So one thing that you said there's some minor updates than the wave. So do they tell you ahead of time when the minor updates are coming, or is it like Windows when you turn your computer on, it's telling you that you're getting updated at that time?
Yeah, so it'll be listed. Every time there is a hot fix or one of those small updates, it'll be listed out on the web in the docs.microsoft.com space. Just like the main wave, all of the information we talk about today is out there for you to look at as well. But in your system, you'll get a notification as well. So as far as us as partners with our clients, when we set up their SaaS environment, we give somebody at their company notification contact information, and then also us as their account managers, and then our support team as well. If they're working with a project team, someone on the project team also has a notification. So anytime there's going to be a rollout of an update of any kind, whether it's small or large, that group of people gets notified, hey, this is coming. And then as it tries, if there's a failure, it comes back and tells you it failed or it was successful. It will also tell us if something in the system in one of their extensions or add-on softwares needs to be updated. It'll call that out so that we can jump in and fix that right away and then rerun and reschedule those updates.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, it looks like the updates are starting to drop here starting actually today. I have half dozen customers whose environments will be updated tonight. We do have the ability to change when that update happens. We can pause the update for 60 days or up to 60 days. I think what we're recommending is that we update your sandbox environment right away. Gives you a chance to test while we push off the date start update for your production environments. At least that's what I've done with my customers, to give us at least a month or more to do some testing to make sure that there's no complications. The good news is that if your environment compiles, that means from a technical perspective, Microsoft and the ISVs that are installed in your environment will successfully be upgraded. There's always little things that potentially could creep up. And so we want to give you that time and suggest that you test your new environments before you apply it to production.
Yeah, I'll say I noticed in my demo environment, when I said I wanted the Wave 1 pack installed, I had a couple ISVs that needed to be updated. I got a message first time I wanted to upgrade and it failed, and I just had to go in and update those ISVs to the most current version. If they do a release between the last wave and this wave, sometimes those ISVs need to be updated, and thankfully in the SaaS platform that's really easy. You can go into the either uninstall and reinstall from the client or from the admin console, just update those different ISVs, so it was really easy to do. But that's, you know, one of the housekeeping items I think that that our support team helps our customers with.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, if we can look back at the last wave V19 wave, wave 2, there was a change made in the way cross-references were handled. Microsoft changed and increased the size of a couple of those fields. So while the data moved correctly, Microsoft knew to take it from point A to point B. If you had any custom reports that relied on that old field, those didn't get addressed. Or if you had an ISV, for example, that relied on using the item cross-reference table, which is now referred to as the item reference table, those didn't get addressed right away as well. So compiling an environment and having it technically be ready to go doesn't mean that all the other little features or things that you may rely on will be addressed. So again, it's back to that, put it in test or sandbox and then test it, especially critical processes, to make sure you're ready to go.
Yep, and that's what I was going to add to remind everybody that just because it's not a heavy lift to upgrade anymore for SaaS, it doesn't mean you don't have to test. You still need to test, test, and test. Don't think that, gee, it was a quick and easy upgrade. It happened while I was sleeping. I'm good to go. Still, you need to get in there and test things out, make sure nothing broke.
Yeah, testing's overrated. Just kidding.
Well, if you don't pass them on the first, if you don't pass them on the first go around, Steve, I can, you know, I can understand.
Nice.
So, you know, in general, when I was looking at this release, one of the things that resonates most with me is what Microsoft is doing as far as listening. In this release, Wave 1 of 2022, there are two new features added to the application that resulted from an online portal called, help me out here, Holly, what do they call the, where you submit the, I forget what it's called, but sorry, what?
The ideas board.
Ideas
Kevin board. Kevin Fons board.
Yeah, that's so. In fact, these are two from Kevin Fons. So it tells me that Microsoft is listening. You know, for so many years, we had technology updates and all of the changes that were there to create the online version, and the functionality got a small nod. Well, they're listening, and these updates, even some small ideas, are being incorporated into the product. And there's some from customers, there's some from partners. So they're listening, and the enhancements and the improvements and the feature value that we see with the new upgrades is just going to get better and better. To me, that's my number one takeaway from this wave. Last one was good, the one before that was good, but this one has a lot of really great time-saving features that you can take advantage of.
Yep. It's an exciting time to be part of the Microsoft family. That's for sure.
How about we do this? We can maybe ask some questions about different functionality of the software, and you guys can choose maybe who can want to address it. So like the financial side of things, is there anything cool that really stood out that got you excited about that our users might be interested in?
Yeah, so one really big thing is bank reconciliation. So a lot of enhancement around bank reconciliations in the new version, something to really pay attention to for our clients because they've made it universal. So we're going to the world view of the bank reconciliation, and the slowly but surely the North American version of that's going to fade away. So you have a year. So they're going to, you'll have the new version and your old version in wave one here. And then next April, the North American version will fade away. So it's time to learn to use it, get used to it, see what it's about, and start using that new bank reconciliation. But it's going to bring other columns and features and fields that you'll be able to use right along with international banking. So that's a nice update and change there, that it will be all universal and we won't have two different ones, depending on if you're working in North America or you're working worldwide. So that was a big one. We'll talk more about that on our webinar that we're doing on the 17th. We're going to dig into some of our favorite areas, and bank recs one we'll talk about. They did some updates around the account schedules and reporting features for financials. It's always been an area that people felt was lackluster and pretty simplistic, and they want to do a little bit more flavor around it. And so they've heard us, again, listening, and so they've started to build that out and add more features and columns and things to the account schedules and the financial reporting, which is an exciting area for sure. Same thing with GL accounts and journals. You're going to be able to check and balance, and I'll show you where you have errors before you go ahead and post those or try to post them. So a lot of things that they've updated in that financial area that's available to everybody. One of my favorites is consolidations of customers and vendors. So
yeah, that's a good one.
Right? One of the things that would happen when I was on the end user side, something we always had is somebody was both a customer and a vendor, and, you know, we owe them, they owed us, who pays who, you know, and they're sending me a check and then I'm sending them a check back. And so now you can pull up in your payment journal their information based on both customer and vendor, and then is there a balance that you owe them? It will cut them a check for the difference and recap everything on it. So really kind of a neat feature there. That's going to come in handy. You can link the customer and vendor cards together. So it will show what their vendor number is on the customer card and vice versa. So there's some cool things around that as well. Gosh, there's some stuff. I know Jim's going to talk about the jobs area, and that's an exciting area across the board because they've added features to the jobs area and they're really, really ramping up. I wish they'd call it jobs/projects because it's really about projects. But they've added stuff that affects us on the accounting side and financial side, along with the operations side. So they've really taken a look at that and started to add some features around that. So there was a lot in there that I know Jim's going to talk about.
Very cool.
Probably the last thing I would say on the finance side that really stuck out is the Dataverse options. That to me is really exciting because it's the beginning of something new with the system. So Dataverse is available to us. And so now in this way, we're going to be able to pull down payment terms, freight terms, shipping agents without having to code that or write that into the system and link to those things out in Dataverse, which is really, I only see that going further. Down the road and just becoming really robust. So instead of having to sit there and figure out what is the formula to get net 30 on the 25th day of the third month and what that looks like in a formula to give you a due date, now you'll be able to just pull that kind of stuff out of Dataverse and into your system, which is pretty cool.
Nice. Sounds like Jeff can work a little bit more offshore with his accounts in the Cayman Islands. A little more fluidly, huh, Jeff?
We're going to keep that off the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to leave that.
We just survived tax here.
So there's deferral posting. Like Jim's talking about listening, right? So deferral posting is all about deferring when I'm going to pay something to a later date, right? But it was always constrained by our posting date range that we have within our system. So it made people crazy on the finance side. Like, why do I have deferral posting and it's outside of my posting date range every time I try to use it or do something? So they have revamped that area, changed the functionality and added features to that so that no more posting date range errors when you're using deferral schedules and posting. So that's really cool too.
Yeah, it's good to hear that they're making jobs a little bit more robust because we actually have quite a few customers that use the jobs module.
Great. Put over to Jim.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm not sure more robust is quite there yet, but there are some nice little features with jobs that they're finally, you know, tying things together. So I guess in my list, jobs, the first one is that now the internal warehouse logistics and jobs speak seamlessly to one another. So warehouse picks and warehouse and inventory picks are the two methods that we tell someone to go somewhere and get something, right? Inside the warehouse. And in the past, we didn't have a way to tie that into a job. So it was extra steps to get that inventory consumed onto the job so that it's reflected into the financial side of your work in process calculations. Well, they've tied those together now so that that's a seamless experience between a job and those inbound logistics or those internal logistics. Of course, it all depends on how you're configuring warehousing and so on, but they're all available now where we didn't have that before. And that's a big feature. Kind of a smaller feature is, and this one sounds small, but it's huge. And that is the person that's paying for a job isn't necessarily the person that we are working on. And it isn't necessarily the same location where the job is being performed, right? So imagine you're a home builder and you've got a general contractor that is overall the one that pays the bills, but the builder is also a customer and the site where the builder needs to go to do a particular job is yet another entity. Those were never available to us. So now we've separated the sell to and the bill to and added an additional location on the job information right away. And that all flows by default into the various trade documents that we use to complete that. So that's a nice new feature change. A small one is in my world, the operations side of the house. And Holly, when you start talking deferrals and debits and credits, my head just wants to explode. I know you love that area, but I know how to say debit, but that's about as far as it goes. But on the location side or on the operation side, we've now added a default dimension. And I'm sure that those of you that are listening are aware what dimensions are. We have a default dimension by location. So now whenever I create certain activities, the location dimension is pulled automatically into that transaction. Doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're a customer with multiple locations and you want to have a balance sheet value for inventory, you had to go through some extra steps. It's not that we couldn't do it. It just required a few extra mouse clicks. And this default can take away those extra mouse clicks and therefore become more efficient in throughout the day. For those of you that are in the bill of material world, if you're using production, very often you may have a component that regardless of the output that you're creating, you only consume one of them. The best example is a test kit. If I make 100 widgets, or now the new demo data is all coffee pots. We finally have moved away from bicycles. Now we're making coffee pots. I love it. But if you're making 100 coffee pots, you may have one test kit that you consume on that batch of 100. If you make 10,000 coffee pots, you may have one test kit that you consume. So that on the bill of material, we now can have that item be a fixed quantity. So regardless of the number that I actually produce, I'm just going to consume one of those. So is that a huge thing? No. I could go into the consumption journal, of course. I could add the item. I could put a quantity of one. But think about the extra work that's involved with that. Someone's got to remember to do it. And then someone has to go in and do it. Right. So that's 15 minutes worth of work by the time I've thought about it and then I went and did it. That's now eliminated. So all these little things just start to add up. And then for those of you that are in the forecasting world and you're using the sales forecast to feed into MRP or MPS, we now have a new user interface that allows for a more seamless experience around variance. Variants was added a while ago, but it was kludgy. And so now it's a much cleaner user interface to support both locations and variants on your forecasting, which is really, really nice. We haven't had that in forever. So it's a nice new look and feel for how that appears. And once again, shameless plug, May 17th, which is 2 weeks from Thursday, 2 o'clock Eastern, Holly, is that correct?
2 o'clock.
So we'll be presenting a webinar, a little bit more show than on this podcast where it's mostly tell. And you'll be seeing some of these new features live and on PowerPoint, depending, so that it's a bit more tangible for those of you that are visual learners. There was one other on the operations side. And I'm forgetting what that is right now. It'll come back
to me. On the top, you can add pictures. I saw that in there. So you can add your item picture and some other picture too, right on the job cards. And now you're going to be able to use report selections for jobs.
Yes, thank you. That's what it was, report selections for jobs. So yeah. So if we had a particular report or reports that we want to run on a particular job, when I run that report, the reports of will all automatically print out. So it's not uncommon. You might want to have a work in process report along with purchase order status report. You can link those together, and they'll just all automatically calculate. So yeah, that's a nice feature too.
Yep. Yep.
And there are more. When I look down the list.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there's at least 80 things on this list that go into general areas. And joining us on the webinar on May 17th is our very own Gino Pack, who is, and I say this with all due affection, he's kind of the propeller head of our world. And for those of you that are older than, 50, you'll know what that means. But Gino's going to be discussing some of the technical and administration areas that are improvement. I can give you a little heads up. There's a new email application. The journey to really integrated email is complete. There's a new email app, and we'll be deprecating the old email code unit in favor of the new one soon. But getting to email and with APIs, as well as from within the experience, is really, really nice.
Yep. Yeah, I could spell technology.
It's a lot of letters.
Beyond what I need to know, right? Paul Dino.
You know, and from the desktop, from the client as well, the integration to Outlook, to OneNote is great. So now if you are in a OneNote SharePoint world, you know what the document share experience looks like, right? You say you want to share a particular document, you fill in the email addresses of the people that you want to share it with, and subject to the policies that your company has created, you can't share outside of your company. You're only allowed to share inside your company and that kind of thing. It acknowledges all of those. So now I can quickly share a document from within Business Central in a OneNote format and share that out to a customer. So am I going to do that with financial documents? No, but let's say you and I are talking about a design of something, or you have an architectural drawing that you want to share, right? And you want your customer to see it. Well, rather than have to email it, you can copy that link and share it, and you've got that one document on a SharePoint OneNote folder somewhere. So you've got, you know, kind of that one version. I mean, how often have we said, okay, Jeff and I are collaborating on something, and I had to send him an email with the Word document in it, and he's got to make his changes, and then he sends it back to me. And then in the meantime, I've made some changes, and I got to look through Jeff's changes, and oh, where did I put that paragraph? Oh, yeah, I got to change, right? It's just not efficient. So with this, but with having this in OneNote, the changes are all there. There's one version of the truth of that document. You can both agree and mark up and so on. So is the OneNote experience new? No. Is the sharing experience new? No. But the manner in which we can do that within Business Central is new, and it's seamless. They just really are talking together. I really firmly believe that the way that the products work together are more Microsoft than ever before. You know, I've been in this business for a long time, and I remember back in the day, Epicor was one of our products that we sold. And one of our things that we used to say was that we're more Microsoft than Microsoft is. Because in the early days of NAV and GP and so on, the integrations to Word and Excel was problematic. But Epicor solved that problem. No one can say that anymore. There is nothing that is as Microsoft as these products working flawlessly and seamlessly together.
Yep. And we hardly touched on that. There is a ton of new stuff in the what they are calling the Microsoft stack in this wave that's been done. There's stuff around Excel. There's stuff around Word. We're going to be able to design reports in Excel. We've asked for that for years instead of Word. You're able to export and design your reports and make updates to them in Excel. There's some other features in Excel that they've done around just the export and editing area. You're going to be able to utilize your payment journals that way. Outlook, there's some new features around Outlook. You're going to be able to, when you use Outlook, you'll be able to save any attachments from your Outlook email to your document inside of Business Central. So very similar to the kind of things you do with Zetadocs and stuff, you're going to be able to do right with your Outlook emails. Things around OneNote, things around Teams that are growing and getting better. So when you paste the link for your customer card into OneNote, you're going to get a preview that looks like your customer card information or like a business card right inside of your Teams version. So a lot of cool things around that. Something that both I and Shannon, one of the MVPs from Microsoft, are going to teach on at the DUG, DynamicsCon Live in September. Our session is going to be on how to integrate and use these other features from the stack using Teams and Outlook with your Business Central product. So that's it. We have the last session at the conference.
I'll hang around for you, Holly.
It'll be fun. You don't want to leave early because it's going to be fun.
So, Jeff, a little bit more for you to demo.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. I'm pretty excited about that email attachment. I think the email integration is, for certain organizations, that's really powerful. The fact that you can do more with it than, you know, just interact with their individual email is going to be great. So, like, the saving of attachments into the appropriate records in BC is cool. I was wondering, so as we were talking, I was looking to see, I only see the Fonz mentioned in the documentation for this Wave 2 once for one of his requests, but the like the pace at which that request that he made that they put in for the fixed quantities and bill of materials, so he made that request July 3rd of 2019. So almost 3 years later, it has reached the so you
but
know
they're obviously listening, Jeff, they're listening.
That's right there. For we want to make sure that they're listening. And I looked at a number of other, and there wasn't, you know, I mean, obviously this is an application that has, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, I don't know if millions yet of users. So making a change to that, like they did with the cross-reference table, is there's a lot of connected when you look at the database. I think back to one of my early years at Inovia, actually ABC at the time, and one of our customers, tech guys, had a they were in the construction business, so they had access to a really large format printer that would print out blueprints that would be like 4 feet by 3 feet. Well, he had printed out the table relationships of like everything in NAV at the time, and it was, I think he had to use like something like a 2.5 font to fit all of these boxes in, but there were thousands of boxes. So making a small change like Kevin had requested obviously has rippling ramifications throughout the system. So it's we like that Microsoft takes their time and almost, you know, never has hiccups. But that is, you know, I think that just speaks to, if you have an idea now, get it into Microsoft on that ideas platform, because it's going to take them a little bit to get that implemented.
Yeah, I didn't say they listened and react quickly, but they're listening. So and in that new ideas portal, you know, monitor that if you've got some thoughts and you create your own. But if you read through there and see one you like, make sure you put an upvote on that. They do look at those upvotes, and that's how they bubble up to the attention of the development staff in Copenhagen, the number of upvotes that they get. So I think you can only vote once per, this isn't an American Idol where you get 10 votes per email address. I think it's only one vote for email address, but still, if you find something you like and you agree with, go ahead and give that an upvote.
Yep. And if you're in your Business Central SaaS and you go to your question mark on your help page, it's about halfway down, you'll see the ideas link, and you can just click right there and go right to that page, and you'll see Kevin Fons at the top, and you can view all of the different things people have put in and add your own.
See, I knew you'd know, Holly.
So you can find all this online, right? So if you want to research what's coming out in each wave, you can. All right, Bing it versus Google it, right? So, or where would you go?
You may find it if you use Bing, Steve. You may find it.
Bada bing, can find it, right? So, is this something that it's only for partners, or can our customers go out and find the same information you can?
Yep. Yeah, it's in a break from the usual, it's 100% transparency on that.
Nice. So if you just Google Microsoft Business Central Wave release, it'll show up, right?
Yeah. Or you could go to docs, docs.microsoft.com, and then type in what's in Wave 1 2022 Business Central, and it'll come up. And you can walk right through it.
Very cool. And I know we're kind of coming up on time here, guys. I know you have the webinar. Right now we're at the end of April. And our customer conference is coming up next week. So that's going to be exciting. Yeah. And I think total attendance with everybody, we're almost at 300. So,
yay.
Yeah, it's becoming the event, right? So any last thoughts from you two?
No, just stay tuned. You know, I'm excited by the things that they're adding into the product. I'm glad they're listening to the feedback. There's some great new features that are coming that are too soon to talk about, but they're really going to continue to expand this application to get better and better.
Yeah, and no matter where you are in the product, if you're on Nav 3.7 today, God bless you, or if you're in Business Central on-prem, one of the more recent versions, wherever you're at, the conversation and the target of being on Business Central staff down the road should be in your radar somewhere. Maybe not tomorrow, but it definitely should be in your radar and something you and your team are talking about.
So any updates on the CRM? I'm sorry, the CRM? Jeff, we almost got through it, Jeff.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, let me just take this marker and scratch out another episode that that we fail to really dig. No, they're actually, I mean, I think across the board they have made some small tweaks to even you could paint some of the email stuff as some CRM integration if you were so inclined. So yeah, there's this actually though gave me an idea. Like, we have to have Jim and Holly back like every time, because there's two wave releases per year. So that's we'll have them back each time maybe and revisit this conversation.
And there is though, Steve, just for you, there is a CRM update. So one of the things that's coming out is integration and enhancement to syncing quotes and orders from Business Central to CRM back and forth, both directions, bi-directional. So there you go.
The CRM inside Business Central or the Dynamics CRM?
Dynamics CRM to Business Central. They've upgraded and enhanced the integration to that so that you can do a bi-directional sync between orders and quotes.
That's a big deal.
It is. And that's an area of opportunity for Microsoft, isn't it? to get that integration a little tighter. So I think they know that.
We mentioned it because our boss will make us use it.
Nice. Well, we appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy day. And like Holly and Jim said, you can catch their webinar with Gino coming up on May 17th at 2:00 Eastern time. And if you get this well past that, you can obviously go to the website at Innovia.com and click on past webinars, and you'll be able to search for it and listen to it and eat popcorn and watch at your leisure. So once again, guys, we appreciate it. And this podcast is over.